Sing of the goodness of God. Let's open our Bibles. We're going to turn to the book of Colossians. My wife was, back when I had COVID, my wife was read this couple of chapters of this, and this has been on my mind ever since then, so I might as well just get it off my heart, right? So we're going to talk to you about if ye be risen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then I want to read from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We just want to pray now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, as in ourselves we know that we are but dust. We realize that we're nothing in ourselves, but as I mentioned Sunday with you in us and leading us and guiding us, then we're everything, Lord, because it's you. I remember your prophet talking about it and said, when Peter called it the holy mountain, the prophet said it wasn't the mountain, it was the holy God that was on the mountain. And that's the way we feel today, Lord. We realize that we're nothing, but Lord, but with your presence with us, we know that we can lift up holy hands and believe you and trust you. And that it is by your word that you're going to pull us out of this world that's decaying. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that we'd be able to give everything we have to your word tonight, Lord, and just going forward. We ask it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. If ye be risen. You know, the whole Christian experience is built on rest. Brother Brown tells us, and it's not just rest, but it's in faith and the Word of God. And so Paul is saying here that if ye be risen with Christ. And so we know from the message and from our own walk and from years of being in church that we, by faith, we know we're risen in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, you know, by faith, we are in him. We died with him, we were buried with him, and we're risen with him by faith. Brother Rim tells us about, he said, for America, he said, I have to be identified with America in her glory and in her shame. He said, I was with Paul Revere. I was with George Washington when he went across the Delaware. I'm identified, because if you want to be called an American, then you have to stand up and you have to say, I was part of that. You know, because you sanction it, you're a part of it. And so he said, when brother fought against brother in the Civil War, I have to be identified with, because that's part of our history and part of what we are. And so we have to be identified with the glory and the shame. He said, I was with them when they hoisted the flag at Guam, or I was with them when they stormed the beaches of Normandy. I was there in all that, because I'm identified with that. Right. And to be an American, you have to be that. You can't deny those things. That's why it's so important. They're trying to take away our history, but that's who we are. That's the experiences that we've had. And so he said, using that as an example to show us that we have to be identified. If we're a Christian, we have to be identified with all of Christ, all of the scriptures, all of the things. I was with Moses when he stood there and parted the Red Sea. I was there. I'm part of it. Yep. Right? Have to be identified. But how could I say I'm a Christian and deny that? Right?
Right.
So I was there with David when David looked down over Jerusalem and was weeping as a rejected king. I was part of it. I was there because I'm identified with it.
Yeah.
When because of that, when they rejected David, they were rejecting me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They were rejecting you because you were there. And so he comes along and he brings it on forward and shows us that when they rejected Jesus, they were rejecting you. When they spit on him, they spit on you.
Right.
When they smote him and said, tell us who it is that smote you, they were doing that to us because we were in him. And so our faith tells us that we were there, we were identified, and we suffered those things because we were in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a quote here that I just love, and I'm going to read it to you. I guess you knew that when I said it was a quote. Brother Bram, this is in The God of This Evil Age in August of 65. He said, just as your natural life and traits is handed down from the natural breeding of your father, so is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. And when the entire Word of God in completeness was headed up in a human body called Jesus, in there, God made me pay for my sins. Think about that. When everything, all that was headed up in a human body called Jesus Christ, in there, God made me pay for my sins in him there. Then he raised me up with him in the resurrection. And now we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Oh, if we could only believe what God has given. Amen.
Yes.
That, I remember the first time when he's going along and preaching, I'm listening, and he said, God made me pay for my sin. And I'm what? What was that? But listen to what he's saying there. By faith, we were so much in Christ Jesus that he could say that. And that's true, that we paid for our sins in Christ because we were in Christ. Because remember, when he was hanging there on the cross, and they stuck him in the side, and the ingredients that came out for water and blood for a birth, because we were taken from his side, just like he was taken from Adam's side.
Mm-hmm.
So then after all that suffering and everything that had happened there on Calvary, and it is finished, then we come out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We were in him. And so God made us pay for our sins there. So if we had to pay for them there, we're not going to have to pay for them now or in the future, because they're already paid for.
Yeah.
And we must believe that and realize that this is the kind of gospel, the kind of God. We serve a God that will still save people on their deathbed.
Amen.
Even if they don't know the message,
right,
he can save them. Yeah. Right? We want to make sure that we don't get so spiritual in what we understand and draw people out. God is in the saving business. And so we belong, we were in him and we belong to him. And so I heard it illustrated one time, thought it was really good, that Lazarus, remember Lazarus, he was the one that died and was dead for 4 days and he stinketh, and Jesus came and raised him from the dead. And you know, just you have to bear with the thought here that in Lazarus was seed. Uh-huh. All of his children that he could have was there in Lazarus.
Yeah.
Okay? And when Lazarus died, those seeds died with him.
Right.
And when he was beginning to stink, those seeds were there.
Yeah.
Right? But when Jesus called him forth, those seeds come forth.
Amen.
Right.
So you could ask, you could talk to Lazarus' children, and his children could say to you, when my daddy was alive, I was alive with him. When he died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him.
Yeah.
But when Jesus called him forth, I came forth with him.
Right?
Right? We can comprehend that because they were in there. Because the scriptures, we have to understand. Remember, it's God's Bible. It's his way. We're going to teach it his way and it's going to go with his way. According to God, Levi paid tithes in Abraham, which was his great-grandpa.
That's
right.
Because he was in his loins. So Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and then Jacob had Levi. And Levi, when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, God imputed it all the way down to Levi, all through them generations, from that seed to that seed to that seed. Mm-hmm. And so you understand, and that's a concept of God, that Levi was in Abraham, and Levi got the benefits of what Abraham did.
Right.
Why is that in there? So we can understand that God can take something from where we come from, where we were, and impute that to us.
Yes.
So we were in Christ Jesus, and it was imputed to us, just like you see, and like I said, it's God's Bible. He's the one that comes up with these things, or came up with this, and so we can't say, well, I just don't believe that, because if you think of it through man's way, that's what you're going to do, but this is God's program. Mm-hmm. And so they can say that I resurrected with my dad. So you were in Christ, and we have to accept that by faith and say, I was there. And when he rose, I rose with him.
Amen.
So then Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, if you're risen with Christ, then seek those things from above and not things from beneath.
Amen.
It's interesting to me that the Bible labels that above. And earthly things beneath. Because we realize it's heavenly. And it takes special equipment to get you up in heaven. It takes an airplane or an astronaut. You know, you can't get in heavenly places without something to help you.
Yeah.
But God has come down with his Holy Spirit. And he lifts us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's a higher realm. It's a heavenly realm. But I look at it this way. It's a faster realm. Because we know it is. It's a faster dimension than we are. You know, when you have a child that's in school and they can't read very well. But, you know, I couldn't read maybe when I was in fifth grade. I think I read on the second grade level. I probably still read on the second grade level. But what you say about a child is like they're slow. Slow learning. They're slow. Is that right? A higher dimension, a faster dimension, a revelated dimension, a dimension where you understand things that you can't believe. And the scriptures says, you know, that this is above. And that we should be looking and seeking for things that come from there.
Right.
Not from things that come from down here. Not from things that are from the slower dimension where they're retarded.
Yeah.
I'll say that not to be against, but this world is retarded. Right? The only right thinking is the mind of God.
Amen.
That's the only thing. And so it's a slower dimension, and I like it when the scriptures label us and seek those things that are above, a higher realm, a faster dimension. You know, and it is a faster dimension, and we sang that song, we'll speed up, they'll slow down, so we can step over. Mm-hmm. I've illustrated in the past, I actually did a video kind of showing this one time years ago. But if you take a train going down the tracks 100 miles an hour, you can't step into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you take another train and you speed it up, And maybe that one that's 100 miles an hour steps down to 50, and this one speeds up to 50. You can go stand beside each other, and you're both going 50 miles an hour, and you can step out of one right into the other, and then the one that can slow back down, the other one can take off again. God can slow down the dimensions and speed us up. In other words, get us wrapped up in the revelation in a higher realm, and that realm can slow down enough. And you know, science tells us that the speed of light has slowed down. I got a chart of it on another phone and shows where it is slowed way down. And it's around 1960, 63, where it kind of flattened out. What happened in 1963? The opening of the seals. So natural topic, spiritual, there's so much you can talk about that, but it's a faster dimension. And so, you know, Satan is not a creator. He can't travel like a thought. Right? He can't do those things. He can't create like that. And so the reason why Satan's able to do the things that he's doing in this day and have the devices and the things he has on people today, the reason why he's able to cause everyone not to be able to buy or sell is because of the fourth dimension, the development of electronics. Electronics work very fast. So it's through the speed of that fourth dimension, the speed of electronics, that he's able to now know where everybody is. But he can't do those things himself. He has to take something of God's and pervert it. And so that's how he's doing it.
Right.
See, but God has that already. God's already in a faster dimension. He's already able to do and so forth. Right?
Yep.
Satan's just trying to mimic.
Yeah.
And he has to use transistors to do it. You know, electronic devices and so forth. That's what he's doing. And so the scriptures tell us here that to seek things that are from above, and this is where we're going to turn a corner, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, we know that all that was in God, he poured into Christ. Right? Remember Brother Bam telling us this in one of his sermons. Christ said all that was in God he poured into Christ, and then all that Christ was he poured in the church.
Yeah.
And you have to get this and understand that, and I break it down from the Old Testament standpoint. Everything that God was, he poured into all those Old Testament saints, yeah. You know, living out types and shadows, coming pointing to Christ. And then when Christ came on the scene, everything that was all back there was all poured into him, because he was the fulfillment of all of that. Every bit of it. And so you can say Christ, that the sermon is called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. So all through the Old Testament, everybody going, what's God doing? What's this serpent on the pole? Why is all these things the way they are, you know, and that were types of Christ? They might not know. But when Jesus came on the scene and he was the one that stood there and says, as the serpent was lifted up, you know, then everything that was a mystery is now made clear in Christ.
Right,
so Christ was the mystery of God revealed. And so we can comprehend that. But then an end-time prophet came and even pointed us to that. But he also said, but now all that was in Christ, now he's poured into his church. And then, so Christ went into the church ages and lived out all these seven ages. People, the Holy Ghost in there, living out Luther, Wesley, and all that, just like God did in the Old Testament, living through people pointing to Christ. Now Christ is in his church living, pointing to an end-time bride. That she's going to stand up at this end time and be the fullness of everything that was, just like Christ was the fullness of everything in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
That's exactly what God's doing. So, when Jesus came and lived and paid the price and so forth, he was given the highest position. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so, he went from there and he went to the place referred to as the right hand of God. And right hand doesn't mean sitting over here on this side, but it means he has come to all power and authority.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. So if there was another person called the Father, he's not got any power because Jesus has it all.
Right.
All power in heaven and earth is given. But we realize that that person became Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not confusing to people who will let the Bible teach them. It's when they listen to all these men that are all messed up and they get confused.
Yeah.
But so Jesus now is in a position of all power and authority, sitting at the right hand of God. And Paul is saying, if you've been risen, if you're risen with Christ, then look to that place where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Look to the place where Christ has all power and authority. Don't be looking back here at all this other stuff. Let's look to that dimension, to that arrangement where he has all power and all authority. He's the one sitting at the right hand of God. Let's look to that and see what's for us from there. Let's see what God has for us from that. And let that come to us. And let that be the thing that we look at. Because when all that God was, when he poured it into Christ, and Christ did everything in that, so now he is pouring into his church. He's doing something through the ages. He's got a plan. He's got an unfolding. Let's look to that. Because now, when he resurrected, he's at the right hand of God, has all power and authority. He's going to take all that power and authority. He's going to do something with it. And what did he do? He poured himself into all these seven church ages and living out a gospel, a message that he's going to end up.
Yes.
That's going to finish at some point, which is now happening.
Right.
And when that time comes, it's going to be identified in the body of the bride of Christ, who's going to be the second appearing of Jesus Christ in bride form. Because you have to go back, and if you look at the scriptures, you realize that male and female created he them and called their name Adam. Because Eve was in Adam and God took her out, but she was still Adam. So you got Adam the male and you got the female that was taken out, but she was still Adam. And then God brought Adam back to Adam. But Adam was in that female form. But it was Adam. There's a reason why the scripture says it that way. Because he wants us to know over here at the end that this bride who was taken out of him at Calvary, she's still Christ.
Right.
In bride form. And he's going to bring her back to Christ. So it's Christ coming back to Christ.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It's very clear. We go with God's Bible and say, yes, Lord, even though my mind has a hard time grasping it, I believe it. You're doing this, Lord. You said you would do it, and you're doing it. Right now, you're doing it. You've got a people on this earth that you're actually taking them through that and showing them who they are. And so, Paul is saying, let's look to that. Let's look to that place where Christ sitteth at the right hand, and let's see what God has for us, what he's doing in that position. And what he was doing is what we just said. He poured himself into seven ages, and so he poured himself in the church, and he'd have seven church ages, seven messengers, seven angelic angel messengers, judgments for those seven ages that rejected the word and so forth of their day, that he would provide for himself a wife without spot or wrinkle. That's all coming from that position where he's sitting at the right hand, has all power, and this is what he's doing with it. And Paul is saying, let's look to that. So in my mind, I'm hearing Paul say, let's look to this New Testament gospel where Christ has promised all these things and is bringing it to pass. And let that be the thing that we're entertained by. Let's look to that, not to things on the earth. But let's stay tuned to that dimension because that's where it's coming from.
Right.
So that's what he's telling us. It's from that dimension that at the end he would say that it would be granted to her that she could be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white, when he would come in bride form. So Paul is saying, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's just a repeat of what he said to begin with. Look for things there that come from there and not things on this earth. Surely we can see that this world, even you talk to anybody, they're like, man, this place is going nuts. You know, but a prophet told us this 50-some-odd years ago that this was happening.
Right.
He could see it. He could see the seeds of it happening right at that time. He could see it already there and knew it was going to grow into a full a mature thing, and now we're looking at it, so now that we can see it. Those of us, you know, may just have to stumble over stuff sometimes before you see it. But now we can see it.
Yeah.
They're going berserk. Brother Ben said that used to, you'd have to go into an insane asylum or into a pest house or something. You know, you'd have to go into an insane asylum to get where people was crazy. He said, but now it's out on the street.
Yeah.
He said, now it comes into the church and marches down the aisle in the church.
Yeah.
Insanity. And it is insanity.
Right.
As I said earlier, the only right mind is mindset is the mind of God's word, God's thinking. And let me just say that, as we've said so many times, that God started out in the feet with the apostles taking the gospel out. And up through the ages, and finally come all the way up to Pentecostal age, which was tongues. And after Pentecostal movement in 1906, then there was a seer, a prophet. But then after that, what you have is the intellect, the mind of God. There's one people on the face of this earth that have the right thinking, and that would be the bride of Christ. And everything else is insanity.
Right.
And so we want to look for the things that are above, not on things on the earth. Because this, we know that, and we read it there, because we're dead to this world. And this is where Christians have to look at this, because in the one scripture it said that, you know, that he that believeth that purifieth himself. Where does your purification come from? He purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. So he's telling us there in that, that we're going to appear as sons of God, and it will come a time where we're going to appear with Christ in glory. And that's coming. But everybody that has this hope, is what it says, everybody that has this hope in him, purifieth himself.
Right.
Do you know that the dove, Brother Ram said this many times, so the dove has an oil that comes from inside that cleanses himself. It comes from within. Brother, sister, we've got to listen to that voice of God in our hearts.
Amen.
That agrees with the word. And let that purify us. Let that change our lives.
Amen.
Let that change us from what we don't want to be into what we ought to be and what we want to be. Right?
Amen.
Purify it. And so if you have this hope that, hey, you know, I am a son of God. And no, it doesn't appear yet. I'm out here, have to be off work 2 weeks with COVID and all kinds of stuff like that, like so many people. But I'm still a son of God. You're still a son and daughter of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you know it's going to appear. It's going to change one of these days. And so because you have that hope, then you embrace this walk and you continue to walk and let that purify your walk day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that Christian, a Christian, is to be dead to this world. That's what he said in Colossians there. For you're dead to this world, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So where Christ is, that's where you are.
Yeah.
You are hid with Christ in God.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever Christ is, that's where you are.
Right?
Right? That's what we read there. So you're in the same place that Jesus is. Right? And we're not talking about a physical place so much. But you're in heavenly places with Christ. And you're looking to heavenly realm. You're looking to the promises of God. You're not looking at these things on this earth. Because if we look at these things on this earth, our hearts are going to fail for fear. Looking at those things that are coming. You know, it's like my dad. He's like, I'm ready. Don't try to keep me here. Because he had peace. But you have other people that don't have peace. They want them to do everything they can to keep them here.
Yeah.
But you know, I said this many times. Years ago, I was seeing these drawings or pictures or whatever, and it'd say RIP on a tombstone. I'm like, what's RIP? What's that mean? Well, I found out later on, you know, I lived probably a sheltered life, I guess. I don't know. But later on, I found out it means rest in peace. Well, that's strange. But as you get older, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Ram said, why would we want to stay here? He's talking about Brother Dow, I believe, was his 90-some-odd years ago. He said, look at Brother Dow. He said, now put another 30 or 40 years on him, what would he be? We don't want to stay here. We don't want to stay here in this world the way it is. But even if this world was good and you're in a pest house, why would we want to stay in this with it decaying? God has a way for us out of here. It's coming. It's coming for all of us. It's God's program. Well, we got to just, you know, best thing is to get into sync with His program because it's coming. And if we are in sync with God, we don't have to fear that. And so, you see that. I'm a people watcher. I observe people. I think probably a lot of us are. And you see how people respond to things and what's on their mind and how they handle things. And you know that they're going to wreck up. And it hurts you, it bothers you as a Christian, especially if you try to talk to them and they don't want to hear you. And you know it's coming bad. It's a bad day coming for them. And so, even as a Christian, it's a hard time. You know, as I said the other day, it takes pain to be delivered into this world. It takes pain to leave this world. It's a hard time. But when those times come, we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be there with us. So we're dead to this world. Our life is hid with Christ in God, so we're in the same place Christ is. But the scripture said, when Christ, who is our life, I don't have my own life. I don't want my own life to be displayed. I want Christ. So Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in glory. Amen. We shall appear with Him in glory. And then as we read in St. John, it said, it does not yet appear, but we know that when He comes, when He appears, we're going to know Him because we're going to be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. So you hear in that there's a transformation taking in us for us to realize at that point we're in the same condition He is. We're in the same realm He is. And we can see Him for what He is because we've become the same thing. Yeah. Everybody catch that? We've become the same thing He is. And therefore we can recognize Him for we'll see Him for as He is. Amen. We shall see Him as He is, for we will be like Him. And that is a revelation that comes at the end. That we're the first people on this earth through this end time message has been given an insight to see that we're the Word too. Yeah. These other churches don't preach that. As Christ was the Word made flesh, so is His bride. She is Him. That's for us. That's for the bride. I say that humbly. It's for the bride. She is Him. Because that's what the prophet said. But when she, Brother Brandon said, when she recognizes who she is, what she is, I think is the way he said it. When she recognizes what she is, then the rapture will go. He did not say the rapture will come. Because the rapture cycle is here. It's in us. And when that bride finally realizes that she is the living Word just like Him, and she's flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, she's been united with Him, then it's going to happen. We're going to leave. So we will see Him and recognize Him for what He is because of what has happened in us to come to that place where we realize these things. And He is the revealed Word of the hour. So I want to ask you something. If we're not the Word made flesh, if God's not doing in us these things we've been talking about, how did you get where you are now? To sit and listen to these truths and these mysteries unfolded to your eyes and for your eyes only. And you catch it and you love it and you see it and it's on your mind. How did you get there? Because the rest of the world don't like this. How did you get here? What's happening in your life to put you here? That's proof that you are His beloved. And that's how we got where we are now. Amen. God has been really good to us in this end time. Amen. And it's just the desire of my heart. I'm sure it is everybody else. Just, I don't want fame and fortune, but I just want to represent Him well. Amen. In the workplace, in church, wherever I'm at, I just want to represent him well.
Amen.
You know, if we all had our way, we'd all have sign gifted ministries, we'd be out there and raising the dead and doing all these things. That wasn't, I'm not saying that don't happen from here and there once in a while, as the body as a whole around the world. But those days of that kind of showing is over with. Brother, sister, it's a third pool. And it is not a public showing. This is why I keep talking about there's a maturity level that has to come to us where we quit esteeming great people and esteem Christ. To, you know, nothing wrong with having big meetings, you know, whatever, camps and all that. That's fine. We've got to come to the place where we're not thinking, oh, the only way I can get a hope of God is if I go to a big meeting, or I go to have this brother pray for me, or that brother counsel with me, or something like that. When we finally catch it and realize that what God is doing that's going to take us out of here is not a public show. When I say public, I don't mean just out there, but I mean it's not something that's going to be demonstrated up here by some guy. But it's something God is doing in you in that secret place. That Brother Branham spoke to us about in the rapture message of Psalms 27, in the secret of his tabernacle. He'll hide me in that secret place, in his pavilion, in a time of trouble. Brother, sister, we're in a time of trouble. And God has hid us with Christ in God, as in the Psalms 27 there, in a time of trouble. It's when it lifts us up. Because the desire we have, as it says in Psalms 27, that the one thing that I desire, that's what I'm going to seek after. And that is that I can behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire of him in his temple. That's the one thing we want. Just there's one thing, and that's what he says, and that's what I'm going to seek after, that I can behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple, to fellowship with him, to be in that secret place. And that's what it is. It's a third pool thing that's not a public show, but it's marvelous. And it is a faster dimension, because sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around it. But if we can just get caught up in it, I often think about it, and I've shared it here before. You've heard it probably, that the fellow that was trying to cut down the tree, you know, and get it down to the camp for his boss, and he had no strength to do it. And he turned around and heard a voice speaking to him and said, "What are you struggling for? Why don't you just roll that log into the water and just ride that log down to camp?" And that's what he did. He rolled the log off into the water, and he jumped on the thing. And instead of him trying to move the log was moving him, taking him right down there where the boss wanted him to be. And the whole thing there is let them, you can't move the message, but let the message move you. Mm-hmm. Because God is the one that said that he would provide for himself that wife without spot or wrinkle or limbs or any such thing. He's going to do it. And then if I go to put my hand to it and you try to put your hand to it, you're going to mess it up. You're just going to wear yourself out. But just let him do it by his word. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, we just thank you for this time to be in your house tonight with your people, just to speak a few words on the things, Lord, that if you've so wonderfully committed to us in this day. Ask the Lord that you touch every heart, that you would lay these words into their heart. May they ponder on them, Lord. And if there's questions in their hearts, God, that you would answer them and make sense in all these things that we've spoken. I realize that a person from outside not knowing the message would be Greek to them, or as it were. But to your bride, the rapture is a revelation. To your bride, that are eagles, they eat eagles' food. So we ask, God, that you commit these things to every heart. And may, Lord, we enter into a time of sincerity, more sincere than any other time before. For we see this age wrapping up. We love you, Lord, and we commit this in your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. the place where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Sister, when she's driving to the last night, you know, I'm not making light of it, you know, just the way she texted me and said she was driving fast. So I said, while we pray, we drive. I wanted to say, while we pray, we drive fast, but I didn't. We pray while we're doing what we know to do in the natural, but we pray, you know, and we go through this together. And so we don't, you know, we appreciate our local body of believers. And I certainly do, and I can feel the love that's coming through from everybody as we go through these things. So just remember, we're all in this together. Brother, sister, we're going to be there on the other side together.
Amen.
All of us together, gathered, and well, you know, it's hard to put it in words when we're still on this side, but you understand what I'm saying. So we'll sing this again, and you can be dismissed. Just remember these prayer requests. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Spirit.